Your greetings today from the Gideons International and the Gideons of North Carolina, who are just thrilled to be here this morning. You know, this ministry of ours called the Gideons, we're asked a lot of times where the Gideon Church is, and we tell them it's right down the street at First Baptist or Second Baptist or whatever, and the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church and so on and so forth, or the evangelical churches that our membership comes from. And I've even been asked, what's different about that Gideon Bible you give out? And we're glad to tell him that it's the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. We're happy to tell him that. And we are happy also to tell him that it works. You know, I'm a salesman, and I don't have any guarantees at all that there's going to be a sale made in my office today. I'm praying there will be, but it doesn't matter. But I don't have a guarantee every day when I get up. But you know, every time that I place a copy of God's Word, or one copy that is placed every 15 seconds around the world, there's an ironclad guarantee that it's not going to return void, that it's going to accomplish what God wanted it to do, and it doesn't matter what man wants to do with it, God is going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. Our relationship with the church goes back to the very beginning of our ministry. Two men were asked to share a room in a hotel in Boscobel, Wisconsin. Back in those days, there wasn't a Holiday Inn or a motel or a hotel on every corner. You might end up in a place that was full and be asked to share your room. And these two men went to the room that night, and one looked at the other and said, "You know, when I was a 12-year-old boy, I promised my mother that I would not go to bed at night unless I took a time to read a copy of God's Word, a portion of God's Word, and to pray." The man said to the other, "I'm a believer. May I join you?" And they had a time of devotion together. After their devotion, they began to think about, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a way that we could identify other people who believe like we do, instead of spending so many lonely hours not wanting to go where the rest of the crowd was going. And so they thought that it would be wonderful to start a Christian Traveling Men's Association. And they went about planning this meeting. They thought they'd write a letter to every man that they knew who was traveling, who was a Christian. And they sent out all the letters, and boy, it was exciting that they were expecting this huge crowd to come and meet and start this ministry together where they'd be able to recognize each other as they traveled around. And boy, they were really excited. The day of the meeting came, and they went to that meeting place, and one other man showed up. And many folks would have got up and said, "Well, this is not God's will, or it's not a good idea. Let's leave." But I praise God for three men who believed that God had his hand in what they were trying to do. They went ahead and they talked about formation of an association. They got on their knees and began to pray. And one rose from his knees and said that God had laid on his heart that this group would be called the Gideons, based on the story of that great general Gideon and how he followed God's will. And they started. And it was not a very auspicious beginning. The Gideons International did not place a Bible until 1908. But shortly before that time, in a meeting, they laid forth a plan to where they felt God was leading them to place a copy of God's Word in the lobby of each hotel. After their meeting, one of the men was at the meeting of the Presbytery in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He shared with that group of ministers what God had laid upon their hearts and what they were trying to do. And one of that body, Dr. Burkhalter, stood and said, "I believe that if God's leading these laymen to place his word, that it's incumbent upon the church to partner with these people and to be a part of their ministry and help them to place the word of God." And from then on until today, the church has been an intricate part of placing the scripture. It took 64 years to place the first 100 million copies of God's word. We are presently placing 100 million copies of God's Word in just a little over 2 years. This year, worldwide, our goal is to place 50 million copies of God's Word in 172 countries of the world, translated into 78 different languages, one at a time, hand to hand, with a witness telling them about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to share just 5 verses of Scripture. It's in Psalms, the 37th chapter, the first 5 verses. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. for thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shall be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That last verse, the fifth verse, is our theme verse in North Carolina for this year. And I will tell you, as I stand before you, that one of the greatest privileges God ever gave me was to be involved with a group of men and women around the world whose only purpose is to lead men, women, boys, and girls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the pastor in West Point Baptist Church in Rutherford County, North Carolina, who recommended me to be a member of the Giddings. I thought he was nuts. I didn't know why he wanted me. I appreciated those nice things he had said about me. But I wasn't sure that this was what I wanted to do. I didn't know what God wanted to do, but I really wasn't too interested in looking. I had enough to do anyway. But God allowed me to join this group, and God has blessed so in such a mighty way. But I believe that one of the reasons that God has blessed the Gideon ministry for this 100 years is the fact that we stay under the shepherdship and leadership of the local church. We don't go out and have our own agenda. Our agenda is the agenda of the church, which is to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as long as we commit ourselves to the Lord and we trust in him, that we can do that with his help, and he will bring it to pass. And it's proven it every day. I'd like to give you a little testimony about a man down in jail in Texas several years ago. This man was known as the meanest man in South Texas. Headed the Mexican Mafia. He loved to be in jail because they couldn't hassle him too much. He could run his empire from jail. He always had one or two of his lieutenants in jail with him, and he could do what he wanted to do from right there in that jail cell. One of his joys was there was a fella came around and handed out copies of God's Word and also handed out words of encouragement about that God loved him. He didn't want to hear that. But he'd take that book sometime just to have it, and then he'd bet with his fellows that he could hit the guy in the head before he got out the door with his book. But this fellow just kept coming. One day the sheriff decided he would stop this interference. He was going to put these guys in lockdown for the whole time that this service was going on, and this young man said he didn't care. They'd go play poker. Sheriff said, no, you won't take anything in with you. On the way into this lockdown, he hollered at that man who had come by the jail and said, hey, give us one of those Bibles. Give us each one of those Bibles. The sheriff said, no. But the Gideon said, please, Sheriff, I have to give it to them if they ask for it. And he gave it to them, and they went inside. They locked them down. There were no windows in this particular room. It was soundproof. Two guys looked at him and said, are you nuts? What do you want these Bibles for? He said, we're going to play poker. How are we going to play poker? We don't have any cards. He said, we're going to play poker. He looked through this little book, and he happened to see something that looked, a name that was pretty familiar to him, Juan. So he said, you turn to the book of John, and you carefully tear out each page. And he said, then we're going to shuffle them up. And then we'll reach into your pile, and you read something that's on that page, and you lay it down. The rest of us have got 20 seconds to find it. If we find it, we win the hand. If we don't, you win. The one who ends up with the most pages wins. Now, who wants to tell me what verse God allowed to be read first? You got it. You got it. John 3:16 was the first one read. And they began to play poker with God's precious words. They didn't know what they had in their hand. As the day goes on, as the time goes on, this man says something started to happen. There was no outside windows, but he said it was like a cold breeze. A cold wind blew over him. And the only way he could describe it was he didn't know the name of Jesus. He said, love came into my life. Love came into my life. And he looked at those guys and he didn't know what was going on. He was confused. He was, for the first time in years, he was afraid. But he knew that he had to tell them, as soon as we get out of here, get on the phone, call everybody, shut everything down. Shut down the gambling, the prostitution, the protection, all of the things that we've been doing. Shut them down. They thought he had gone crazy. He didn't know what had happened to him. He went out of that cell The man had already left. He began to try to look through that book. He couldn't understand what he was reading. He just knew that love had come into his life, and all of a sudden there was no hate there. Hate that had been in him since his earliest memory, because his father had abandoned his mother 2 months before he was born. He was raised in his grandmother's house, a house of 21 people, and he never felt love until suddenly in that jail cell, love came into his heart. The next day he went to jail, went to court. And during the course of court, for some unknown reason, the judge looked at him, his wife, and that grandmother and said, "You take this young man home. If he ever shows up in another court in South Texas, he'll never get out of jail." They went outside and this young man said, "I've got to go somewhere." And they wanted him to go home. They were afraid he'd get in trouble, but he had to go somewhere. And he went to the house of that man who had come to the jail to see him. He knocked on the door, and the woman came to the door, and he said, "I want to see Bob Christensen." And she said, "I'm sorry, Sammy." She knew exactly who he was. She had been praying for this man for months. "You can't see Bob." "But I've got to see Bob." "Sammy, you don't understand. Bob died last night. Sammy Contreras said, "I didn't know what to do. I just knew that there was something I had to do. I had to do something to let this man know what a difference was coming over my life. And I wanted somebody to explain." And he didn't know where to go. He went home, and he and his children began to just sing verses out of the scripture. And he was about like me. He couldn't sing a lick. But they would hit that electrical piano, and they'd go "For God to Love the World." And they'd just sing all kind of verses. So he decided he better go to church. He knew that good people went to church. So on Saturday night, they drove to San Antonio, Texas, to the home of his brother-in-law. He said, "We want to go to church." And the brother-in-law said, "Well, we'll go tomorrow, but we're going to go party tonight." He said, "I don't want to party. I want to go to church." But they were determined to go party, so he packed his family back up, drove back down to Colorado City, Texas, got their instruments, drove back to San Antonio to the big church on the corner. It happened to be unlocked. They went in, set up their instruments, and he said, "And in the morning, as soon as people start coming in, we're going to start singing and praying." And they did. And he started telling folks who were coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning how a wonderful thing had happened to him because love had come into his life. It wasn't long till a number of those had come down to the front to hear him better as he told them what had happened. And finally, this fellow in a long black robe walked up and put his arm around him and said, he knew who this young man was. Everybody down in that area knew. He said, "What Sammy's trying to tell you is that Jesus Christ has come into his life, and from now on, I hope he will do it in a Protestant church." He had gone to the Roman Catholic Church, the only church he knew. When he left that morning, 9 people came out of the church and said, "Where are you going to be next time?" Sammy Contreras later felt the call to preach the gospel, started the school, found out a whole lot about what God's Word meant in his life. They gave him a little mission that had 4 people in it. Today, that church has over 5,000 members. Sammy Contreras has a number of associate pastors, of which part of them are former lieutenants in his gang. And it was done because a church allowed a guy like me to come and share with them what God was doing through a ministry called the Gideon. And because a church pastor had trained Bob Christensen to have a heart for lost people and to go and witness, no matter whether they cursed him, whether they threw things at him, whether they spat upon him, to keep going. And it worked. And it works, and it works, and it works around the world today. You know, as Christians, we prayed for many years that God would open the door into the former Soviet Union. In September of 1989, the door opened, and very shortly, the Gideons were able to form a camp in one of those countries and send in the first Bibles. Since then, in just Russia alone, over 12 million copies of God's Word have gone in. For the last 4 years, over 500,000 copies of God's Word each and every month have gone into the former Soviet Union countries, and they're still going at that rate. We had a letter a year or so ago from the president of the Albanian Gideon saying, "Please send us 1 million copies of God's Word. We believe that the government is going to close the doors to our country. And we promise that if we have the scripture here, that until our last breath, we will place them in the hands of lost people." I had the privilege in 1995 to go to the countries of Ethiopia and Uganda with the Gideons and work with the local Gideons. And I'll share Uganda in just a moment, but I want to start with Ethiopia. Ethiopia, as you know, was under communist regime for a number of years. The Gideon ministry started in that country just before the communists took over, and for almost 12 years, they were not allowed to have a public meeting. But there were three men who every Saturday morning, Gideons traditionally in North Carolina and around the world have a prayer meeting every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock until 7:30, where we pray for our ministry and we pray for our pastors and we pray for the churches in our local area and around the world. These guys, for 10 years, met in a 1969 Volkswagen Bug, drove around the city of Addis Ababa having prayer meetings and praying that one day again they'd have the privilege to place God's word. It's still a tough thing to place the word of God in Ethiopia. The Coptic church makes it very, very difficult. But I can tell you today that there are Gideons in Ethiopia who will place God's word in the hands of lost people because the church has allowed the Gideon ministry to prosper and be able to send the copies. In Uganda, in 5 days, God allowed 30 Gideons from around the United States and a few of the what we call self-supporting countries, countries that can buy the Bibles they need in their own country, plus raise funds to send to others. There's only 8 of those. But 30 of us went into Uganda, worked with 18 Ugandan Gideons and some of their wives. God allowed us to place 175,000 copies of God's Word in 5 days. And to record 32,500 professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share one of those with you. In a school of about 900 students, most of the children were all dressed in uniforms, white shirts or yellow shirts and khaki shorts or pants or skirts. Some of them were very old and worn, but they were all dressed alike except for one little girl. She was dressed from head to toe in black, a devout Muslim family. During the course of the presentation that day, the Gideon said, I notice we have some Muslim brothers and sisters in our audience, and I'd like to share with you that your prophet Muhammad, when he wrote the Quran, said that you should read Moses, the prophets, and the gospel, for they contain truth. This little girl, as a student, began to listen very intently to what this man was saying. He continued to share, and then he shared the plan of salvation with this group. The other Gideon with that individual began to pray diligently for the whole group, but specifically for this little girl. At the end of the presentation, several of the people in that class wanted to know more and wanted to accept Jesus as their Savior. And this little girl was crying, and the Gideon went over and sat down beside her, and he said, can I help you? And she said, no, I don't think so. And he said, may I ask you a question? Did you pray that prayer for Jesus to come into your life? And she said, yes. They talked with her, and she went on her way, not knowing what was going to happen to her. It was almost 9 months before a letter was received in our international headquarters. She said, oh, I'm so lonely. When I went home, my father made me stop going to school. He shunned me from the community and from our family. I could not interact with any member of our family except my mother. I stay in one room. She brings my meals. I can only talk to her if I'm sick. I am so lonely, but I still have Jesus. But then I want to tell you something. Some 3.5 months later, another letter came that started out like this. Praise God, praise God. My sister has accepted Jesus. Now we are two. And my dear friends, I believe with all my heart and all my soul that one day God is going to honor that young lady's commitment by bringing that whole family, including that stiff-necked daddy, to their knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it. And I pray for it every day. And I'd ask you to pray for Asia. Now, when we come to the church that one day you may be pastoring or you may be pastoring today, there's four things we're going to ask that church to do. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to ask them to pray for our ministry. We're going to ask for them to pray for it here in America and around the world. And I want to share with you very quickly about one of our men named Viktor Goncharenko, who is our Russian representative. He was in the process of forming some new camps in Siberia last winter. They left one village going to another town. Their car stopped. Not another vehicle on the road. The temperature was estimated to be at around a minus 150 degrees below zero. They began to lose consciousness from the cold. Suddenly they felt movement in the car and heard something. They were aroused. They opened the door and two guys were stealing the tires off of the car, thinking that the car was abandoned. The two men who were stealing immediately stopped, got these fellows in the truck, and they warmed up. And as they were warming up, they took a copy of God's Word and led those two men to Jesus. Victor Goncharenko said this in his letter to us in our national magazine, "I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that we would have died on the side of that road that night had it not been for the prayers of the Gideons around the world and the church people who pray for our ministry every day." The power of prayer. So the first thing we'd ask in your church is for the prayers of the church. Secondly, we would ask that you send us qualified business and professional men to be a part of this ministry. We don't want to take them away from the church. We want to give them another avenue to share their witness. Several men, Brother Steve spoke at our convention in Asheville, used to be a Gideon. There's only two ways that I think a man ought to get out of the Gideon. One is he takes that higher calling to go into the ministry. And two is he goes on to be with the Lord. So we need you to send us people. Pray for us and send us membership. Because that's the only way we can be Gideon, is be members of the local evangelical church and have the recommendation of our pastor. Then you can support a program called the Living Memorial. Well, it may be in a hotel like many years ago in New Orleans. There was one in a little room over the kitchen. A young man had left home, didn't want to go to school, didn't want the restrictions of his family anymore. One night in a hotel room, he began to read that scripture. He called his dad and said, "Dad, can I come home?" His dad said, "Come home," and they carried him out to the barn. When he got home, he put on his knees. He said, "Son, the night you were born, I got on my knees in this barn, and I dedicated you to Jesus." He said, "I'm so glad you found me." That young man left, went to school, went to seminary. Served two terms as president of the Southern Baptist Convention, served as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Charlotte, First Baptist Church of Memphis, and many others. And into his 80s, is still sharing Jesus up in Horseshoe, North Carolina, Dr. Carl Bates, because somebody placed the Bible in that hotel room many years ago. And then finally, you can allow us to ask your folks to give a love offering to buy scriptures. Folks, one thing we'll say to your church is this, that every penny that is given in that service or through this Living Memorial Bible plan will go for the purchase and placement of Scripture. We do not operate our association on funds that come from the church. Gideons pay dues, and dues pay their way. And God has allowed those to stay reasonable where that can be done. Again, it's a great, great privilege to be here. It's a great, awesome privilege to stand before young people. And some of you I know are not that young anymore, but most of you are. I got an amen back there in the corner. But it's awesome to stand before folks who have dedicated their lives to serving the Lord. I honor you and I affirm you. And I tell you that as Gideons, we pray for every one of our pastors every week. We pray for our churches, not just for their money, but we know the sacrifice that people make to go into the service of our Lord. We believe that you've committed your ways unto the Lord. We know you're trusting in Him, and we know that He's going to bring to pass exactly what He wants in your life. And we just want to go along with you step by step. Support you with our prayers. Maybe you'll be our pastor, and that would be wonderful. As you leave today, you're going to have the opportunity to receive a green copy of God's Word. Now, I know most of you, if not everyone, know the Lord as their personal Savior. I believe everybody in this room does. But I want to tell you why we want to give you a copy of this. A Gideon gave a young pastor several years ago one like this. 15 years later, he ran into that pastor. And the pastor said, "You remember giving me this book? It was well-worn. It was completely slick. No writing on the front." And the man said, "Yeah, I remember that." He said, "Look, inside on every blank spot was the name and date where a soul had come to know Jesus Christ through the witness of that young pastor. There were over 200 of them. just from that one little testament. I'd love to say, folks, when you pick yours up today, all of us get 200. Look what's going to happen out of just this service. But I know this. Every scripture that is given out on this campus today has a purpose. It's God's purpose, and it will be done. Thank you for allowing us to come. I'm going to ask Dr. Mosley to come. We'd like to make a presentation to your president. We have the privilege to present what we call a dignitary Bible to people who have shown outstanding service and the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have received this scripture have been President Carter, President Reagan, President Bush, a president, and I wish I could remember the country, and one of the African countries who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a member of the military reading a Gideon Place Testament. So we would like to present to Dr. Patterson, and Dr. Mosley will pass this on to him, a copy of our Dignitary Bible, because we believe he's a man who committed his ways unto the Lord, who continues to trust in him, and we've seen the fruit of it being coming to pass, and it still does. So it is my pleasure as the president of the Gideons in North Carolina for the 5,000 or so Gideons and almost 3,000 auxiliary members in this state to present to Dr. Paige Patterson a copy of our Dignitary Bible. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Wayne, for that message, and we appreciate what you and all these Gideons and Gideons around the world do for our Lord and getting the Word of God out. And Brother Wayne mentioned the fact that they'll be giving Bibles after chapel, and we asked these Gideons to sit down here front so we could recognize them, but they also asked to scoot out early so they could be out there waiting on you. So, gentlemen, if we'll dismiss you, and you can make your way to the back so that you can be outside and have the Bibles there ready for the students as they go. And as they do so, let me just encourage you to do exactly what Brother Wayne has talked about. Either give that Bible away to a lost person or use it in sharing the gospel with other people that you meet along the way. Now, next week, we've got some special chapel preachers. Student Preaching Week, next week. Now, somebody help me here. I just heard through the grapevine. We've got Clay Stevens preaching, and Brian Sims, and who else? Ed Davis. Those are the three guys who'll be preaching next week, and there'll be other fellows, I believe, reading the scriptures. So let's pack the chapel out next week to hear these students preach and to make them very, very nervous as they preach. Once again, we appreciate, Brother Wayne, you being with us. Let's close our time together with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the Gideons and all that they do for your honor and glory. We thank you for their servant's heart. We thank you for those men who began this organization so many years ago, for their faith, for their commitment to you. And now, Father, we pray that you would add your blessing to all that they do. Lord, we know that they worked hard, and yet our work is never enough to bring a lost soul to Jesus. And so we pray your Holy Spirit might use every Bible that is given out to draw people to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, bless them physically and emotionally and financially in every way that you might glorify yourself through them. Give us a good weekend, God, as we serve thee in our various places. And we even ask these Bibles that we receive today might be used in just the way you'd have them used, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.